When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Variety Radio Online. Tonight, we're very excited. We're going to have a wonderful guest. She is a wonderful Southern lady named Beth Grant. Beth has a number of credits under her belt. It's amazing what Beth has done. She has she started her career many years ago, and she definitely has a lot of wonderful movies under her belt. I mean, one of her famous movies that we're all going to recognize from the past would be Rain Man. You know, what a classic. And she was able to be part of that. She has done a lot of TV shows. She did Jericho.
Hello. Also, I love Jericho.
I was like, is she here or is Amy coming in on Jericho? She's done a lot of one spots also on a lot of our favorite shows, from JAG to NCIS to Criminal Minds, and she's done a lot of movies. And as I was looking at her bio, I was very, very amazed that one of the things that she's done for 2012-2013 is she actually directed and wrote one of the movies that we're going to talk about today. So that's a new little feather in her hat, which is great. In fact, we talked about, you know, we're excited that she's part of the Mindy Project, and we're bringing her on to recap a little bit about why she's coming into Atlanta. That she actually has done, since the Mindy Project, she took on the Mindy Project, she has actually done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. She has 7 movies right now in her belt, just in the past 6 to 8 months, 10 months.
Wow.
She's
like Superwoman.
She is Superwoman. I mean, I was looking at this and I was like, holy Toledo, she's been busy. And because I pulled it up originally looking at, you know, from the movie that we're going to talk about, which is Blues of Willardine, for Willardine. And as I was looking at that, she's done so much more even since then. Her list is nonstop. Mm-hmm. And so she's also done voiceovers. She had to do voiceovers because she's done King of the Hill. And obviously that's cartoon. So she's obviously done voiceovers also. She's written, produced, and directed.
Yeah, it's official. She's Superwoman.
I know.
Just sent her an email letting her know that we're waiting for her to call in.
Okay, cool. And she did Everwood for a while. I remember.
I don't remember her on Everwood.
Yeah.
I remember Jericho because it was a big old uproar when they killed Gracie.
Yeah, she was Miss Violet. She was kind of the sweeter older lady who was kind of nosy but looking out for him also. I remember her plain as day in that one. And then some of her older stuff. She even did X-Files. What? She did an episode in X-Files. That's great. So I was sitting here just flipping through. You know, her career started in, you know, 1979 with BJ and the Bear. Holy crap.
Still showing her age.
Jealous of what? Come on, you know BJ and the Bear.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't.
Oh, man. Okay, so we'll move into the 80s and see if you recognize anything. Mr. Belvedere? You were 10?
Yeah, but I never watched it.
Mm.
But I know what it is.
Gotcha, okay. Santa Barbara, that was, I think, a soap opera.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
Yeah, The Outsiders, Flatliners, Dragnet, Boyfriend School, Hunter. I mean, she's just, you're right, she's Superwoman, Wonder Woman. I mean, mm-hmm. She can't be Wonder Woman. I'm Wonder Woman, so she'll be Superwoman. we'll give her that tagline. But, oh, she did the Golden Girls, too. Fun. I mean, she's, I think what's amazing about her career is I'm sitting here looking through a wonderful list of things. She did Coach and Delta also, is that she's done, oh, Murder, She Wrote. She's done a lot of different shows that are from sci-fi, actually, over to drama to comedy. I mean, so she's kind of gotten really lucky and done a little bit of every genre of speaking, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, from serious to comedy to sci-fi, which is kind of cool.
Which is very cool. So, guys, we're still waiting if you're listening to us live. Still waiting if you're listening into archives. We might edit this when Beth calls it. And there's another interview tonight at 8 o'clock, Randy Wayne. Everybody knows Randy Wayne. He's been on the VRO quite a few times. And he will be on talking about his new project. I can't wait till Michelle gets to interview him. She's gonna have fun with that.
It's good and bad. Good and bad. And I was just sitting here as I was looking at her stuff. It's just amazing.
Oh.
You know, you just have to respect someone who's been pretty consistent in the industry. I think the industry's tough. No matter, all industries are tough. I get that, but of course, acting and film industry is always really hard, because I've heard other actors, some of the actors we've talked to, you know, where they're just happy that they have a role.
Mm-hmm.
They're just happy that they've got a job and then that they're acting and doing something they enjoy. Obviously, she's passionate about what she does, and she has been very blessed over the years to stay consistent with roles.
Yes.
You know, and I know that is not easy. Also, you know, I can flip over and talk a little bit about Blues for Willa Dean.
Oh, I believe we have her.
I don't know. Do you want me to do a re-interview?
Beth?
Hey! I just came flying in the house and grabbing the phone. You know, us Southern Bells, we always try to do too much. You know, I was trying
Absolutely.
To squeeze in one more audition. And I left my wallet in the trailer, and Lordy, hey!
We were just talking about how you're Superwoman. So, you know, we were talking about all the credits from the past, so...
Well, you're so sweet. I'm just, I really am crazy as a loon. But we just wrapped the Mindy project last night. And we're also excited. And we did, we finished 22 episodes. And then we did a web series. Yesterday we did 3 episodes of a web series.
Okay.
Isn't that fun? And then, of course, I'm getting ready to come see you guys in Georgia, in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
I'm really excited about that.
Well, Beth, I'm Michelle. I am actually...
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, I am here in Georgia, and I welcome you to the Variety Radio Online.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so, as I've done my research, as a good little interviewer should, there were several things that I noticed. West Point was one of them. I sort of grew up on West Point Lake. My dad... Ooh. And family went down there all the time. I have family in West Point, in LaGrange. They all live down in LaGrange, and I grew up going to West Point every summer. And so when you said that, and I listened to the first interview, I was like, oh, that's my old stomping ground on the summers. So.
Oh, isn't that? Well, I guess, I don't know what you heard, but my dad grew up on Broad Street in LaGrange, right across from the college in one of those sweet little Victorian gingerbread houses.
Yeah.
And, in fact, I was there a few years ago. I held a little family reunion at Callaway Gardens, and I drove by there, and that house was for sale, and it's a duplex now, and, oh, I wanted to buy it so badly. I just had great fantasies of, you know, moving back to LaGrange. I just thought that would be great. And
me and
my cousin. Your cousin? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think my grandfather was a country doctor who grew up in Beulah, Georgia, and then met my grandmother in a little town that's still there called Duran, which is near Callaway Gardens. It's not much but this little Methodist church, so there's not much of it left. And then they moved into the city, into the town of LaGrange, and that was in the early 1900s, of course. And yep. I am Georgia through and through, girl.
Yeah, me too, me too. My family's
love it,
the,
don't you?
I do. My family's the baby. And then they all taught me how to ski on West Point, and we lived on that lake. Just a beautiful lake and lots of room to play. So I just had to kind of throw in that, you know, connection of growing up. And, of course, I lived in Carrollton, so that's not that far up.
Not far at all. I know Carrollton very well. Carrollton fruitcakes.
Yeah.
Do they still make good fruitcakes in Carrollton?
You know, I don't know if they still have that. They had that, you know, not factory, but a place that put them out all the time. I think they're still kind of known for it. So
every Christmas we had to have at least one. We'd get several and give them for presents. And it wasn't Christmas without a Carrollton fruitcake. That's the truth.
You're right. It wasn't for a long time. And now I live up in North Georgia now, or north of Atlanta. So, but my father and family are still out that way, so I get out there as much as I can. So.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see that Georgia red clay. You know, I've got some here, though. I got, in fact, when I went to visit my grandmother's grave and the Grant side of the family, the Mitchums down there at Pine Mountain, Warm Springs area, I dug up some. They were excavating over by the side, and I dug up some red clay and brought it back to California. I've got a bag of it.
That's great.
Sitting on my desk.
That's wonderful.
You know, in Italy, there's a town in Italy called Siena, and if they leave the town, they take the dirt with them, and any children are born, they put the dirt under the bed while the baby's being born so that they can say that they're from Siena.
I love that.
I should have done that with my daughter, shouldn't I? Here she is, born in Los Angeles.
She needs a little Georgia and Alabama dirt under her bed.
She does.
No, I we're excited that you're coming to Atlanta. I know that you're coming back to Atlanta. I know that I have several questions and some things lined up for you, but you're coming in about domestic violence, and I kind of thought about this also, and I think that domestic violence, you know, it affects all of us in one way or another.
Yeah.
Either we know somebody or we have somebody. I remember one of my grandmother who died when she was young. We picked her up from Alabama. She was married several times, and we picked her up at the bus station, and she had bruises on her arm, and she had been chained up. And, you know, it affects all of us, you know, and she passed away not long after that. But, we may know a neighbor, we may have someone in our family, and an uncle. It truly, I think, affects us all somehow. And,
well, yeah, the statistics are terrible. I mean, they say 1 out of 4, but we expect that it's much higher because so many people don't report it.
They don't.
And it was practically accepted for so many years. And then you think of the children growing up in the violence and how it affects them. And then, of course, then they tend to be the ones that if they are abused, then they tend to be abusers when they grow up, which is so sad. Not always, because you can break the cycle with when you get help and you get therapy and, you know, really make a commitment to change and break the cycle. You can do it. But it's very difficult. And, you know, DeKalb County is one of the worst statistics, one of the worst spots in the whole country.
Really?
I'm very supportive of Georgia Coalition Against Domestic Violence. I think they're doing great work. And, you know, all of these organizations and halfway houses have lost so much funding with the economy being down. And so we're just so excited to be able to do this fundraiser for them. I hope we make some money for them, a little bit anyway, and hope we get the word out, too, you know. That's really why we made the film, is that we felt it was a very simple story. It's violent, but it's done in such a way there's blues music that is sort of like a Greek chorus, and there is Gail Shore's, you know, really raunchy but funny humor. And to kind of, you know, soften it a bit so that it's palatable, so that you can take it, so that you can watch it. And it's a very simple story. It's not fancy. I don't know any other way to say it except that it's very simple. And so that our hope, and it's happened to us, is that people will recognize themselves, that these people are archetypes who really illustrate the stance of death, you know, that because when we did our research, we had a Halfway House out here that helped us a lot, and then we looked at a lot of documentaries, and it's so sad because it's largely women who are abused by men, although there are men that are abused mm-hmm. too, and but that they are trapped because they really love these guys, and they're kind of hooked on them. They're obsessed with them, and so they have these violent episodes, but then there's always the honeymoon period afterward where there are apologies and forgiveness and gifts and flowers and, you know, they fall in love again. And that's the heartbreak. One therapist I talked to said she refused to even treat any more women who came from abusive relationships because they just so often went back that it was such a heartbreak. And I remember one of the documentaries, this one woman who was just beaten to a pulp with broken ribs, broken nose, and all she could talk about was she didn't want to hurt him. She didn't want to get him arrested. She didn't want to sign the arrest records because she didn't want to hurt him. I don't want to hurt him. And there she was. She could have died.
Mm-hmm.
And then another woman that I met who was in a documentary, she had been so beautiful. You could see how stunning she had been, and she had a nose broken over to the side and just the scars, and she looked straight at me and she said, "Nobody loves me like he does."
And your heart just breaks.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's very tough, and so and sometimes it's too late, and our story does not have a happy ending, really. She does the only thing she knows how to do to get out of circumstance because she's in poverty, but they're not all in poverty. That poverty is certainly a part of what traps people, because if they don't have skills, if they had children, you know, early in life, and if they're trapped by poverty and with no skills, no way to get real employment, no way to move out, that certainly is a huge problem. But it's not just that. We had a woman who said, you know, you told my story. I have a house on the hill in Bel Air, but that's my story. And we did the play out in Palm Springs at the Annenberg Theater, and this man forced his best friend to come see it. And the next day she packed up her children, and she left this man. And when we screened the movie in Palm Springs fairly recently, her parents came to the screening to thank us for saving her life. Now, of course, we didn't save her life. She saved her own life because she recognized herself. But, I mean, wow, it really made the whole movie's worth it. If that were the only good story we heard.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also entertaining. I mean, there is that crazy Dale Shore's redneck humor. It's pretty vulgar and pretty funny. And there's great blues music, so...
No, it's very exciting. You know, you said something that's so true about people not reporting it. You know, we never told, we cleaned my grandmother up. She moved in with us and never told a soul. You know, now that was the way it was done more so back then. I do believe with education and where we're at today, I do believe it is reported more. I still think that people sweep it under the rug. And it's a good Southern way, too. You take care of your own. And bit quiet.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
you don't
at least
talk
your grandmother did move out. I mean, at least she got out. And,
and
had
I don't remember a lot of it. I was
10.
Yeah, but but the point, if we don't turn it in, I mean, we don't acknowledge it, you know, or they don't report it. And I do hope that women out there are, you know, reporting it. And like you said, they are getting out. You know, that's a key part of it also. Even if they don't report it, at least if they can get out.
Well, and particularly for the sake of the children, I just, I guess, you know, somebody asked me, well, what do you want to say to these women? And I say particularly the ones with children, if you can't do it for yourself, please do it for your children.
Absolutely.
Because them growing up in that violence, they are going to have very tough lives because it's trauma. I mean, it is trauma. And it's funny, I'm going to play Tennessee Williams' mother in a movie, somewhere in this next year, and I've been doing a lot of research, and he grew up in great violence. His father was very bad alcoholic and, you know, womanizer, the worst things you can imagine. And in Tennessee's case, of course, he was an artist. He became a writer, and he was so prolific and wrote every single day. But not everybody has that ability, you know, to process it with art. And he still ended up an alcoholic and never had a long-term successful intimate relationship and died tragically. And so, you know, even though he was so brilliant, it's still, just think how much more he might have been able to do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. There's not a lot of happy endings.
No, there's not. And we also, while we're talking about this, I want to make sure, first of all, to tell our viewers, there is the hotline.org, if you are listening and you know someone
mm-hmm.
who needs support or
that's
help.
Right.
There is hotline.org, and it's 1-800-799-7233. I just want to make sure we share that.
Right.
And
please, yes.
Also, I want to say that we have Georgia Coalition Against Domestic Violence. That is what we have Beth coming in town on Sunday. Are you flying in Sunday?
Saturday. The screening's
Saturday.
On Saturday night.
Oh,
night
Saturday.
Before
okay.
Easter. At the Buckhead Theater.
Yes,
and,
at the Buckhead Theater in Roswell.
And you can get
Roswell
tickets
Road.
In advance at the Georgia Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Go to their website, which is .org. And let's see, that would be
GCADB. I pulled it up
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, there you go, .org. And they have their patron tickets for $150, but we do have $25 tickets. And then I imagine that if they're not all sold out, that there'll be, you know, just regular movie rates at the door. But I can't guarantee if they'll be there because we may sell out.
Right.
I heard that we might. So
I hope
and
so.
And it's just great, great, great organization. And we're going to do a Q&A afterwards. And what we found when we do these screenings, we had one here in Los Angeles, and so many, and also Palm Springs, Dallas. We've been, you know, several different cities, Boston. People stand up in the audience and tell these personal stories. It's like going to church. It's like, you know, when people stand up and witness. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it, as you say, it just affects so many people. These stories have been so moving to us. So, you know, we hope that people will talk about it and ask questions. And there'll be people there from the coalition, of course, to, you know, answer questions and give out brochures. And they are there.
Mm-hmm.
You can call them. They will help, too. They can get you help. So,
Beth, you're right. I guess it does touch people because I hadn't really thought about the violence that when my grandmother, when like I said, I was like 10 years old. I haven't thought about that violence of going to get her. I remember it very vividly of picking
mm-hmm.
her up at the bus stop. But until I was researching you and listening to the old interview, it just resonated in me. And
made you remember. Mm-hmm.
It did. It did. It made me think about how blessed I am now and where I'm at this
mm-hmm.
day. But also that we didn't stand up and, you know, we didn't turn it in. We didn't call the police, but that's okay. We all we made it. But I do hope women out there are getting help and getting the support they
need.
Well,
you did the best you could in the moment. I mean, of course, again, going back to the children, I mean, I'm sure you were probably affected in more ways than you've even realized. But if you lived in it day in and day out, and so often, of course, they you know, abuse the kids, too. I heard a guy talking the other night who's now sober. I think he said 25 years or something, and he cried, and he's made amends to his children who are grown now. But he knows, as he said in his speech, that he never be fully healed.
Mm.
And his 32-year-old son asked him, why did you do it? And he said, because I was weak and I could.
Mm.
And, you know, it's the thing that, as I say, is with the kids, if it's not stopped, if they aren't forced to go to therapy and make changes, they'll do it again, even if they marry somebody else or get involved in another relationship. It won't stop there, even
mm-hmm.
if you get out. So that's why it is important to prosecute if you can.
Well,
it's
thank you for doing
order,
that.
Though. It's tough.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being part of it, and thank you for the support in that. So, I want to jump over to some wonderful things you've been doing. I was
mm-hmm.
looking. You have been busy.
I have been busy. Thank goodness.
Busy,
I'm defying the odds.
You are. I want to save Mindy Project towards the end, since that's congratulations
okay.
on that, and we'll talk
thank
about that
you.
Kind of at the end. I'd love to hear a little bit about the Perfect Fit. As I was looking at the Perfect Fit, I kind of saw your name by the director and your name by the writer. And I also saw something that it mentioned mostly silent.
Yes, yes.
So please tell us about the Perfect Fit. I'm excited.
Oh, thank you so much for asking about that. I'm so proud of that little movie. Well, these three actresses asked me if I would direct them in a short, and they had an idea that it was something about going shopping, something about a dressing room, and which is just like the hall of horrors to me. I just am the worst shopper, and I just always feel so insecure, and, you know, all of we women are back there together, you know, trying things on and looking to see what the other one has picked out. You know how it is. And
right.
Wanting to keep your little door shut and don't want people to see when it's too tight or whatever. And so it resonated with me as a something that we all share. And so we were going to do kind of a light comedy, which it is comedic, but and we wrote a draft. We had the wonderful Lauren Miller, who is married to Seth Rogen and is a comedy writer. She had a movie that she produced and wrote that was out last year. And so she wrote a draft, and we had a table read. And it was good, but I had just done The Artist, which was, of course, the movie that got Best Picture last year, the silent film. And I was so excited about being in a film and watching the director be able to get such great nuance from these actors. You know, I just couldn't believe it. I really felt we told the story fully with no dialogue. And so we did the reading, and I said, what do you think, ladies? How about if we take out the dialogue and challenge ourselves and see if we can do it? And they were a little bit wary, but Lauren suggested that I do a draft of the script without the dialogue and see if I could, you know, visualize it, help her see it visually, and I did, and then she was sold. She liked it, and she invited me to co-write it with her, and so we did it. We, the wonderful Octavia Spencer, who's also in Blues for Willa Dean, stars in it with, Lauren is in it. My daughter, Mary Chifo, is in it, who is in her second year at Juilliard now as a, in drama, and then Anna O'Reilly, who was in The Help also, she played Elizabeth. And then she and I just did a movie directed by James Franco based on William Faulkner's novel called As I Lay Dying, which you may be familiar with. We're the Bundrens. I play Addie Bundren, and she's my daughter, Dewey Dale. And so we've been great friends. We did a couple of other movies together, and just, you know, it's kind of like we're all friends making this movie. So we did it. We shot it. And I did so much work, I can't tell you, preparing for it, and it still wasn't enough. I'd be on the set, and sometimes the AD would come over and say something to me, and it literally did not sound like English to me. She would say, I said, what? And then I'd ask the director of photography, and she'd say the same thing. And I thought, I have ceased to speak English. but you just go on, and you just shoot, and then we got a cut, and then we realized we wanted to do a couple of pickup shots, so we did. And it's a 13-minute movie, and we submitted it to a few festivals, and we were lucky enough to win the audience award at the Soho International Film Festival. We were so proud of that. And then the cast won the Ensemble Award at the Women's Independent Film Festival here in Los Angeles. And we might submit to a couple. Well, we also did Palm Springs and Nashville. I didn't submit to a lot because this is all kind of new territory for me. And so I really most submitted places where I knew people, where I knew I would want to go to Provincetown. I'd always wanted to go to Provincetown, and we did play Provincetown and quite a few. And so we may submit to Sundance. That's the only one left that I thought I might submit to and see how we do there if we get in. But I'm just thrilled with the way it turned out. It's just beautiful. And I did a strange thing. I did wall-to-wall music all the way through, and I found this terrific original music I hate to say girl, but girl musician. And it's very upbeat, bouncy music. And it's the story of these five young women who just by chance come to this resale boutique. And they go in looking for something specific that they think they want and need. And they end up having a cathartic experience together. Something happens. And after that, there's certainly a bonding that happens, and they all go home with something different than they expected to get. And we get to see a little bit about how that experience affected their lives. We kind of round it up at the end with their lives are all better for this moment in time where they went shopping. that would happen every time I went shopping. So it's magical and really beautiful, beautiful performances by everybody. And I was so thrilled to have Octavia, because the one thing I wanted to do, I asked these other three actresses who invited me to do it, I said, can I put my friend Octavia Spencer in? Can I put my daughter in it? I wanted to make Octavia beautiful. She is such a stunningly beautiful woman, but she has played so many character roles like me, and I guess I kind of empathize with that. And I just wanted to make her beautiful, and I have a great payoff at the end of the movie where she really looks great, and it just thrills me to death. Every time I watch it, I just get so thrilled because I get to show off. Because little did I know she'd be getting an Academy Award, and the whole world would see how beautiful she was. But I saw it first.
That's funny. She is beautiful. She is beautiful.
Those big eyes. She's just gorgeous. So it was the greatest experience. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I really devoted three months of my life just like, I even didn't go to some auditions because it just takes so long, the editing process. I had a wonderful editor. And it was, we had a woman producer, woman director, women writers, woman editor, and woman director of photography.
And music.
And the composer was woman. And she did have a male partner. And we had a second unit, DP, and then we had my husband did a lot of pickup shots. So we had the help of some very good men, but we were in charge.
Well, congratulations on that. That's really exciting.
Thank
As
you.
I was looking over that, I thought, that's a nice feather in your hat. I was very proud
of
you.
Well, if you send me your email, I'll send you a copy of it because I have a link to it. I've got a link to it. And I'm gonna Twitter it soon and put it on Facebook. I didn't have full ownership. We had gotten a grant by these women called Girls, Girls, Girls who had given us some money. And I put in some money, my producer put in some money, and then these got this grant. And so they had the rights to show it for a year, and now it's mine. And so I can put
gotcha.
It on and let people see it. So.
No, I'd love to see that. There's
Thanks
a couple others
that.
Here, and I don't know which ones you can talk about and which ones are post and production and all that. We have, I'll throw a couple at you, and you can pick which ones.
Okay.
We've got Bad Words, Out West, As I Lay Dying, which I have a twist on that one for you, Thicker,
okay.
Milo, and Famous. So you have a handful here. So.
Well, some of those haven't happened yet, and
correct.
I hope them will be available. Like Famous, I really like this director, David Foote, but we're supposed to shoot in the fall, and unfortunately we go back to work for Mindy at the end of July, so I told him I might not be able to do it, but he's going to try to squeeze my days together so I can do it. I play a landlady, and a very interesting script. And I think it's Danny Houston is playing the lead. And so I'm hoping that I get to do that one. And then As I Lay Dying is locked picture. In fact, we just today approved our credits because we all agreed to let our credits be in credits instead of at the front so that the audience can be taken into the story more, and I'm thrilled with their decision. I agreed with them completely. And so Pickler's Lock, well, I think, we'll be hearing more about that soon. But James Franco adapted it and directed it and starred in it, and then Logan Marshall Green and Anna O'Reilly plays my daughter. Tim Blake Nelson is my husband, and the wonderful Jim Perrick from True Blood is my other son, and it's the Bundren family, and it's so many people's favorite Faulkner novel, but no one has attempted to make the movie because it's told through all of these different voices of all these characters, and people couldn't figure it out, but it's been one of James's favorite novels since high school, so, and he's just a genius, and he finished NYU Film School while being a movie star. he directed McCormick McCarthy novel called Child of God, and then he directed, I think 16 or 17 short films, and then he felt ready to do this Faulkner. And he's just, honestly, just the greatest director. He got so much coverage, and he got such a good attitude on the set. And we shot in Mississippi outside of Jackson, and I haven't seen it yet, but word that I heard from a friend of mine that saw it said it was stunning. That was the word.
You want to hear the twist on this one?
Yeah, tell me the twist.
My maiden name is Bundrum, and as you trace my name back, and when they came over from Europe, The name split with some of the brothers. Some went Bundrum and some went Bundrum. And so some end with the M and some end with the N. So as you go through my family tree, I'm with the M. So this is like 20,000 cousins over family things for me. So
isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well, that is. If we debut in Jackson, you must come to the premiere. I mean, that is wild. It's just a legendary family. I mean,
yes.
When James asked me to do the role, I mean, I really cried, and I told my husband, I said, if I die before you know this movie comes out, will you please tell everyone at my memorial service that I died happy? I raised a beautiful, healthy daughter who's successful in life. I had a long-lasting, great marriage. I had a great career, and I played Addie Bundrum.
That's awesome.
What more could a Southern girl want in life?
Not much, not much. So, absolutely, if it premieres in Mississippi, I'll drive over because I probably can hook up with all the family.
That's great. I would love that. That's wonderful.
That's funny.
So I hope you'll come to our screening on Saturday night. Are you close enough in Atlanta to come?
I am. I am by myself this weekend. My husband's going out of town, so I could drive down and see Saturday night with you. So,
well,
yeah.
Email your information and we'll work out the details.
Okay, that sounds good. Amy, you're catching this, aren't you? I may have lost Amy. She may be on mute. She's doing the switch.
She's got all my information. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I can hook you guys up together. I just hate that I won't be there.
Thank you, Amy.
No. Let me flip back to your credits are just amazing. So let me go back to I can't keep up with everything that you're doing right now. So also you have Bad Words and Out West. They're in post production, correct?
Yeah. And Out West I did as a favor for a friend, and it was extremely low budget. I mean, I don't know how low budget, but it's one of those ultra low budgets. And it takes place on a dude ranch, and I have a blonde wig, and we did it really quickly. And one of the Baldwin brothers is in it, and one of the kids. I'm trying to think who are the stars of it. But I, I had a great time being on a dude ranch, but I don't know much what's happening with that one. I can't speak much to that one. But Bad Words, on the other hand, is Jason Bateman directed. And I had worked with him on a wonderful movie that I love, directed by Mike Judge, called Extract. And also the producer of it was Sean McKittrick, who did Donnie Darko. And it's a stunning script, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of it. And he plays this super intelligent guy who finds a loophole in the spelling bee rule, so as an adult he can enter the spelling bee contest and goes all the way to the finals and is a genius, you know. And I guess I shouldn't tell you too much. I'll give away the plot, but he plays the part, and he was a wonderful director. I think actors make fabulous directors when they really work hard and really learn the craft. They can be so good because they really know how to talk to actors. And I know Allison Janney's in it. And, just very exciting. I can't wait to see that one.
Yeah, and Jason seems like, of course, I've never met him in person, but obviously he on screen, he just seems like he's just great, almost like he should be from the South, just a good guy, just an all-around good kid.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
I agree. He's a very gentle soul, and he's a family man. He loves his kids, and
He
absolutely could be at the Presbyterian Church on Sunday morning. That's
what I picture him as.
Exactly right. He's just the sweetest pie. I love working with him. I mean, I've always just thought he was great, and we had the best time on Extract. And then so I was thrilled when he called and got me. He wrote me an email, and it really explained what he did. It was a very small part, but he cared enough to write me like a whole page of how he saw and, what was important. They certainly understood if I didn't want to do it, but he laid it all out for me. He showed me so much respect. I just couldn't say yes quick enough.
That's great. So we'll jump over to Mindy Project. Congratulations for getting, I understand that you've kind of become permanent or signed on for more.
Yeah, I'm a series regular. It's the craziest thing. This just does not happen. And But it did happen. I guest starred in September, and I just had a great, great time. In fact, I'll tell you a funny little story. Octavia had done, a couple of years ago, she did something she called her dream board. And she took a big piece of cardboard and she put all the things that she wanted in her life, which included meeting Michelle Obama, meeting Meryl Streep, George Clooney, the winning an Academy Award, all these things on this board. And then she put it in the back of her closet and she forgot about it. Well, fast forward 2 years later, all of those things had come true, all of them. And she kept telling me, and so last year when we did my short in New York, when we screened it, she spoke to Mary's class at Juilliard, and she told them about it. And then she kept telling me, Beck, you got to do a dream board. And I thought, well, I don't know what's best for me, honestly. I hate to wish anything. So I wish, you know, be careful what you pray for. And then when I guest starred on Mindy, I just had such a great time. I just fell so in love with her voice, and she's so unique. It's this kind of, I hate to use the word satire, cause that, but sort of like Jason Bateman's show, Arrested Development, just sort of soft satire, but loving, mm-hmm. and she's this flawed character, but still very loving, and she makes so many comments about pop culture and, you know, our materialism and society, but not in a harsh, ugly way, in a sweet-hearted way, and just still, she's so likable, and just makes us kind of laugh at ourselves, I think. So I just loved her, and I came home after working on that, and I felt, as corny as it sounds, that I wanted to be of service to her. And I got home, and my Emmy magazine had come from the Academy, and her picture was on the cover. And I said to my husband, I said, go get me, please, a big piece of cardboard. And he did, because he's an artist, too, or an actor, but he's a fine artist. And I took that cover off, and I glued it in the middle, and I made my little dream board, and I put it behind my china cabinet, and I forgot about it. And I mean, I truly forgot about it. Then they called and they asked me. I did another episode, and then I got cut because they were making some cast changes, so that one didn't air. And then they booked me another time, and the date didn't work out, and then they called about availability. You know, there was much talk, but I never got back on. And then they had finally booked me to come back on in December and do a guest star, and I was happy about it. And then one day I came home, and they had called and asked me to be a regular. Now, I'm fine, you. I almost fainted. I could not speak. I just sat there. My agents were on the phone, and I'm like, what? I just could not believe it. And, of course, I said yes, and I was thrilled. And then I thought about that dream board behind that china cabinet, and I was like, oh, my gosh. But I wasn't specific. I just knew that I wanted to be in her life and be part of her life, you know, and
yeah.
I thought I would recur. And it's just been this great gift. And, oh, my gosh, they are geniuses. My part's so little. I mean, I'm really pepper in the stew, but I get to observe so much, and they are – they improv a lot. They have really well-written scripts, but then they riff on them, you know, like the way they used to do it with The Office. I've been on The Office, too. I recurred on The Office. And so I was a bit familiar with how they do that, but this is a little different than The Office because they don't have the documentary thing going on. But so I have learned a lot and trying to figure out, well, when do you jump in an improv or when is it not appropriate because you – I'm never really the focus of the scene. I'm just a spice, so I have to kind of stand on guard, ready to jump in, but also don't spoil the structure of the scene and what they're trying to accomplish. So it's very challenging and exciting and something new. And then they threw this doing webisodes, and we shot three webisodes yesterday, which I loved. And I guess that's I love that I was so excited. I left my wallet in my trailer, which is why I barely got to call you.
No, that's like, great. I'm glad that you had the time to join us tonight. So.
Oh, I'm thrilled to talk to you. I mean, you're a bondrum.
I know. I am. That's my maiden name. In fact, I kept it because I knew how significant my maiden name was.
Oh, my gosh. And it's a rare name, isn't it?
It is. It's very rare. In fact, if you have my name, you're kin to me.
Oh, my golly, that's so exciting. I think that is a very good sign because literally today, this morning, as I was running around, I haven't even checked all my emails yet, but that was one of them, was about the credits, and just today they're locking picture. Now, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. I am talking to an actual bunder.
I have to print out the family tree for you. No, I'm just
teasing. Yeah, please.
I was very, you know, I'm very excited that I got to spend time with you, and now, you know, I look forward to hopefully maybe meeting you Saturday.
And I hope everyone will come and support the Georgia Coalition. And we just found out Dale Dickey, who's a regular in True Blood and who's in this, is coming. We didn't know for sure she could. The director writer's going to be there, Dale Shores, and David Steen, who is in Django. Debbie Holiday, who's a Billboard top 10 dance artist. You know, she doesn't dance. She sings for dance music. I don't know that much about that stuff, but I know she's real hot. And, you know, they're all going to be there, and it's a wonderful, wonderful cause, and it's a historic theater.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have a great night, so I just hope people will come. I pray people will show up for a Georgia Coalition Against Domestic Violence.
And we're going to post it on the VRO again, and we'll keep tweeting it in the next few days. And so hopefully we
thank
can drum
you.
Up a little extra support. And, no, absolutely. And thank you again for your time tonight, Beth. I've truly enjoyed getting to know you.
Oh,
and
my pleasure. And
appreciate you.
Again for running late. I scooted in here like a wild woman. I'm glad you waited for me.
We will always wait for you.
Thank you. And call me anytime. Got anything.
Thanks, hey, hon.
All right.
I'll shoot you an email.
Y'all soon.
Okay.
All right, please do. Okay.
All right.
Take care. Lots of love. Georgia, here I come.
Woo-hoo.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Beth.
I love her. She's
love her
the best.
Too.
But we have to go because we have another interview we got to call in for. Randy Wayne will be on the phone line in 13 minutes.
Do we hang up or are we just going to hang up?
Yeah, we're going to hang up.
Okay.
We hang up.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!